Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 126, Extra Life 24-Hour Gamathon 2014. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Wargaming Recon. I want to welcome both new and long-term listeners alike. I think you will enjoy this. This is a very special episode. We've been starting to do the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamathon. I think this is our third year of doing it. So it happens in October. This year it happened October 25th, 2014. Gaming takes place for 24 hours. And I do all sorts of stuff during the gaming and I talk about it online and everything. And then later on, I record the episode about it, which is what you're listening to. And I go into a little more detail about stuff. I thank people. I talk a little bit more about games and logistics and all that sort of stuff. Some of the behind the scenes things, because not everyone has access or uses social media, which is how I tend to convey that information during the Gamathon. So you may not look at that, you may not look at the live blog and other places. And I want to make sure that I cover it in the podcast episode. Well, let me back up a minute, because I don't expect that all of you know what the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamathon is, nor why it is important. So for the first few minutes of this episode, I'm going to be talking about that, and then I'll work my way into what I and Wargaming Recon do as part of the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamathon, and then I'll talk about the games played, what happened, and then I will be sure to talk about the fundraising and share some thank yous, and then we'll move into our mailbag and some of the stuff that's coming up and just wind the episode down per usual. Before I go any further, though, I want to remind all of you that you can get the show notes for this entire episode by heading to wargamingforums.com/WR126. That's wargamingforums.com/WR126. That'll have links to things, it'll talk about what we are sharing in this episode, and just all that kind of stuff. So it's a good thing to remember in case you don't remember anything else in this episode. And there's going to be a lot of content I'm going to share with you. I'm not expecting you to listen to it, or retain all of it. Chances are you're listening to this episode. Maybe you're at the gym, you're on your commute, you might be at work, or you're doing some painting. You're doing other activities, most likely. You're not just sitting there saying, ooh, let's listen to Wargaming Recon. People don't listen to podcasts that way. So you're probably doing something else, and you need to concentrate on whatever else you are doing. I want you to concentrate on those things. But I also want you to remember that in case you miss something in the episode, and maybe you can or don't want to go back, just go to the show notes, wargamingforums.com/WR126, and that'll help you out. So Extra Life is a charity that tries to raise money to help kids who have medical problems and to provide them the care that they need. So they partnered with a bunch of children's hospitals. I know there's tons of them here in the U.S., and I think this is actually their 24-hour game line anyway. I believe it's a global phenomena, I should say. I got involved with this because Ben Gerber, who's the head honcho of the Troll in the Corner podcast network, we was talking about it one year, and he said, hey, you know, we're doing this thing. Do you want to come over and play some games? It'll be fun, cool. And I said, sure. And then I was like, hey, I'm going to raise some money for this and see what's going on. Ben's really in love with it because one of the hospitals that benefits from this, and as someone who's participating in the fundraiser to raise money, you can choose which particular hospital the funds you raise go to. So Ben chose Boston Children's Hospital. He has two adorable kids. And one of them has needed some medical surgeries through Boston Children's Hospital, and Children's Hospital is fantastic. He's been so impressed with how they dealt with his child that he's wanted to make sure that other people can also get the help that they need. You're thinking, okay, that's great, but how does Extra Life help? So what Extra Life does is all of the proceeds go and benefit whatever hospital is being designated. Or if none's designated, then it goes to a central fund and then it gets just allocated out. The money from the fundraising allows kids to get the medical care they need, regardless of their family's ability to pay. What does this mean? if a family doesn't have the money and they say, oh no, my kid is battling cancer, my kid's battling cystic fibrosis, my kid is battling some other scary, scary disease, what are we going to do? We don't know how we can get them the treatments that they need. Are we going to mortgage the house? Are we going to sell it? Are we going to sell our car? Do I need to take a second job, a third job, a fourth job? How can we make this happen? Or are they going to be faced with a really even more difficult decision of, we can't afford to do this. What's going to happen? Does that mean the kid doesn't get the treatment that they need? I want to emphasize that this is a fantastic charity and it does a lot of good. It helps a lot of kids in need. And I know there are other ways that kids can get the treatments that they need. And it's not always a matter of life or death. But I will say that in some cases, the money raised by Extra Life is all that stands between life and death for some kids. I'm not saying all the time, I'm not saying the majority, but in some cases, it's true. So why not help and provide some money if we're able to, so that it can be used to those kids who need that treatment but can't afford to? Let me talk about my little cousin. Her name's Gracie. I've talked about her before on the show, other episodes, other years in Extra Life. She's my reason for participating in the Extra Life Game of Thrones, the 24-hour Extra Life Game of Thrones. She was born with cystic fibrosis. From time to time, she has to go to Boston Children's Hospital where they give her treatments for her cystic fibrosis. In essence, they go in and they clean out her lungs. I don't know about you, but it sounds horrific to me. Imagine how it sounds to a little kid. Imagine how it feels to a little kid knowing that they have to go to this place and they have to have the scary procedure done for a disease they were born with, they didn't ask for, they didn't do anything wrong, they just got it. This disease, they know, causes them all sorts of problems every day. They can't breathe right, they can't be near other kids who have CF because CF has a variety of mutations in it. If the mutations get together, they can become stronger and do more harm. These kids know that when they have CF, they're going to have shortened lifespans. What does that mean? They're going to die before you and I. And that's, to put it bluntly, they will die sooner than I will, sooner than you will. They won't be able to fully experience their lives. Their parents, their family won't be able to fully enjoy their full lives of their kids. Gracie's why I've chosen Boston Children's Hospital and why I participate in the Extra Life 24-hour Game-a-thon year after year. It's very important for me that although her family's capable of helping to make sure she gets the treatments that she needs, that there are many other families who can't. And as a soon-to-be father, I can only imagine how awful it would feel if my kid had something. And if we weren't able, my wife and I, to provide the care that they needed, to pay for the treatments that the child needed, how devastated I would be. So I can imagine how awful it is for some of these other parents. And I want to make their lives easier. And I know a lot of you do too, because each year, so many of you have been supportive, have made donations, spread the word about what's going on, and raised awareness about this great charity and about all the good that can be done. So that's what Extra Life is, and that's why I participate in the 24-hour Game-a-thon. Let's move on, though, because I want to talk about a little more in depth about what I do. So as I said, Ben Gerber, who's the head honcho of Troll in the Corner, he started it up for me. He didn't like start the charity or the fundraiser, but he was the one who clued me into it. And so he really got me intrigued about all of it. And I loved going to his place, playing the games. He was gaming for 24 hours. I did my part. I raised money. And after that first year, I said, you know, I want to do more. I want to not only participate, but I want to have my own setup at my place. My wife and I have a house, have some people over, and do what we can to not only raise money and play some games, but host some games. I wanted to do more than that. I wanted to see how I could use technology to spread the word. I wanted to use the social media, use the platform of my podcast, of Wargaming Recon, to let people know about this and to reach people who might make a donation, who might some way spread the word about this to help raise awareness. I wanted to live blog. That's what Ben did in his first year. I thought this was fantastic. So that second year, I did all those things. I used social media. I hosted. I played games, of course. I talked about it on the podcast. It was the first time I covered it on the podcast, I believe. And just did things in depth. And I said, this is really cool. Look how powerful this is. Look how it brings us as a gaming community, as a wargaming community. Look how it brings us together. And how much we care. And how much we want to give back. I said, this is huge, right? So then let's fast forward to 2014. I said, whoa, I want to do the same thing. I want to do all this stuff. And months and months and months and months before it would happen, I was like, oh, I'm going to do whatever and start planning. But my wife said, hey, guess what, honey? We're having a baby. And my emotions went haywire because, of course, happy about the baby and want to do this. And yet, knowing that this event is so close to when our baby is due, just a few months away, I knew that I couldn't do it the same way I had done before, that I had to kind of make it a smaller gathering. So unfortunately, that meant that I couldn't do it as long with having people over. I couldn't say, hey, we get 12 hours to play games here. It's more of a, we have to keep it shorter because my wife has to rest. I have to do more to help out around the house and to handle things to make it easier on her because she's growing a baby inside of her, right? And also that meant that since I had to scale everything back, I couldn't host all the people in person that I really wanted to. So unfortunately, there were people I know I would have loved to have here at Wargaming Recon Central and would have loved to have them in person so that we could play games. And I wasn't able to include them. I wasn't able to send invites to them. And it's something I feel bad about, but it's something I had to do because of all this stuff, this whole new phase of life coming. So just something I do continue to feel bad about, but I can't and wouldn't change it because I needed to keep the gathering small. I needed to intensify the focus, but then also make everything work with where my life is right now and make sure that I can put the attention not only on this charity because it's so important and how to do this because I was committed to it and I love it, but I also had to make sure that my wife and unborn child had that center stage so that I could do whatever around the house needed to be done to make my wife's life a little easier. Any of you who are married, I'm sure you're like, yep, I know exactly what it means. Any of you who have kids, you're like, darn right, yeah, you do that. So I know that there are quite a few of you, I'm sure, who can understand. And any of you women who are listening are like, you know, I wish my significant other did that. Or when the time comes, if we ever choose to have children, I hope my significant other would do the same sort of thing. So I know it was the right thing to do. And yet, because it wasn't exactly how I would like to make things bigger, but, you know, life happens is really what it is. But I was dedicated to continuing some of the things that I had done before. I wanted to make sure I did this podcast episode, that I live blog, that I use social media. I feel that because I knew I had to scale back on all the things and the size of stuff, the size of the gathering and all that sort of stuff, I was able to devote more time to using social media better, to promoting what was going on, sharing content, photos, little blurbs about what I was gaming, what was going on, why I was doing stuff. And then also to use that even better for fundraising. So before I get into fundraising, let's talk about some of the games that I played. I'm going to go into more depth about some than others. It's not a reflection on the quality of the game or how much I liked it or didn't like the game. It's just because some of them maybe I covered before, some of them I don't have a whole lot to say about, and some are just funnier. And also, there's a lot of stuff I want to cover in this episode. So the first game I played, I started my day about 10-ish in the morning, and I was live vlogging and realizing I put it on Ben Gerber's live vlog, because we decided this year he would have his own that would highlight all the stuff that he was doing at his place, and I would have my own that highlighted what I was doing. The first year we put them together, and we figured it made more sense to kind of do it separate because we had different focuses. I was doing more of wargaming kind of content and video games, whereas he was doing a lot of board games, card games, party games, and some electronic gaming. So we wanted to provide a clearer picture, I guess you could say, of what Troll in the Corner does and what Team Troll was doing for the Extra Life 24-Hour Game-a-thon. So as I said, I started off with Game Dev Tycoon. It's a game that is fantastic. It costs under $10 on Steam, which means you can get it, and it works both on Mac OS X, it works on Windows, it works on Linux too, I think. You can get it from Steam under $10. I talked about it in depth on episode 47 of my other show, Geeks Explicitly. You can listen to that if you'd like by heading on over to geeksexplicitly.com/GE47. So I won't go into much detail about the game other than to say it's a lot of fun. It's a simulation game. You start off as a computer/video game design development company working out of your parents' garage in a sense. And you have the option to make a variety of types of games, topics, styles, RPGs, first-person shooters, simulation, and so forth. Make your own video game consoles, and you expand and expand and the game moves forward in time, and it doesn't use proprietary names like NES or Atari or Xbox or whatever, but the names they use in place of those are close enough. You know what they mean, so it kind of tells you a little bit of the history of video games and game development, but it also puts you into the driver's seat, so you can do what you want. It's colorful, it's pretty, it's very easy to use, point and click. A lot of fun, highly recommend it. If you don't have it, pick it up under $10. It's also a good gift idea, even though it didn't make its place onto our 2014 holiday gift guide. So that was how I set off, because I like to do some sort of electronic gaming when I start my day with the Gamathon, because that allows me to eat, right? It's important to make sure you stay hydrated, you eat healthy, you do stuff. You're thinking, you're playing games, right? You don't need to worry about all this other stuff. But the Extra Life people actually had an article they shared about the importance of making sure that you took breaks, the importance of getting sleep, of eating healthy. Don't just eat junk food. Have veggie sticks and all that sort of stuff. Have a piece of fruit. Get up and walk around. Take a shower. Gamers get this stereotype of being smelly and all that sort of stuff. Break the stereotype is what they're saying. So you're still participating in everything. You're still doing stuff, but you don't have to game 24 hours nonstop. You can do all this stuff as part of the activity, the whole fundraiser, and still make sure that you're healthy, that you're doing a good thing, and that you're gaming. So I like to make sure that I start my day with a nice yogurt or parfait or something, some fruit, something healthy to drink, and played a game like Game Dev Tycoon allowed me to do that. And then I moved on to a great game for the Xbox 360. They also have a PS2. I think it's out there for the Wii and PS3 and all that sort of stuff. It is Star Wars Battlefront 2. It's a classic third-person shooter. I managed to be able to borrow it from my local library, so it didn't cost me a darn thing, but it's so much fun. I actually have it for the PS2, and of course, it doesn't scale to newer stuff, but it's a game I just love. There's so many great maps. In particular, I really enjoyed the Mustafar map, the Tantive IV, and the Death Star one, and I tend to not use the Clone Wars era. Some of the maps allow you to do one or both eras. You can do like Galactic Empire, Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker sort of stuff, or you can do Clone Wars, Mace Windu, and so forth. But these maps are a lot of fun. You can have situations where maybe you want to do capture the flag, or maybe you want to do straight up kill them till they're dead sort of thing. You can play with different tactics in it and just see how things go, and you can use heroes, so you might be able to play as a Jedi, or a bounty hunter, for example, or just play as a regular stormtroopers or grunts or whatever. And it's just a lot of fun. And these maps are cool because quite a few of them are interactive. For example, on Mustafar, there's one part where if any of you have seen the prequels, you'll know that when they're on this planet with all the molten lava and everything, there are some control panels, and you can destroy the control panels and causes bridges to go down and everything. You can do that in the game. And I would not give good odds for any of your opponents who happen to be on the bridge as it plunges into the lava. They might, in fact, they do die. So it's just kind of a cool way to finish one's breakfast and get some gaming going on. And then in the early afternoon, listeners Adrian and Patrick happened to join me for the festivities, and this was the bulk part of the day. So we got going, and Adrian actually showed up first, and we played some Zombie Dice Santa Claus Meets the Zombies, which is a lot of fun. It's from the double feature second X-Pack of Zombie Dice. It's cool to see how the addition of a red die representing Santa Claus can just change things up and how much fun you can have. So it's a great game because you can play it, pick it up, get it done in 10-15 minutes. It's great if you're at a convention, you're waiting in lines, or as we were waiting for someone to show up. So when Patrick arrived, we said, okay, everything's all ready, and we played some Star Wars X-Wing miniatures. The guys didn't know that earlier in the week, I had made sure to pick up the Carillion Corvette CR-90 for X-Wing, which is amazing. It's a gorgeous model, looks beautiful, all sorts of cool things, comes with some special scenarios, and we played a basic scenario where one side was the Carillion Corvette, the CR-90. It had no upgrades, it had no anything. It was the ship, right? And then the other side was a combination of TIE fighters with some special equipment and pilots and so forth. And I looked at the table and I thought, whoa, those TIE fighters are going to just own this thing, right? Because it's a CR-90, it's cool and all, but there's so many of them, and so they can gang up and get right behind and just take stuff down and everything. And I thought, you know, maybe, just maybe, the scenario would be a little unbalanced. And then we started playing, and neither one of them wanted to play as a CR90. I offered. I said, hey, come on! How often are you gonna get to play as a Carillion Corvette? Won't it be cool? They said no. Maybe, I think they were just being nice and wanted me to have first dibs with the cool new toy. And then we started playing and moving around and doing stuff and taking actions and shooting and all sorts of stuff. And those TIE Fighters, they were hard to kill, but they couldn't really do much because the CR90 has some cool abilities where it has shields and then it can replenish shields by spending energy. And you gain energy just by doing maneuvers, certain moves, certain turns, speeds and so forth give you different values of energy. And then you can expend them each turn to do stuff, to use special abilities, depending on the scenario, this one didn't have any. Or to power up your shields. And, well, if I couldn't do anything but power up my shields, you betcha that's what I was doing. So, at the end of the game, it was close, really, it was. But that CR90 it's durable in this beginning scenario. So you really have to coordinate if you're the Empire to make sure that you do the maximum amount of damage. I do have a word of caution for everyone, and this holds true for all of the X-Wing models, but in particular for the CR-90, be very, very careful how you pick it up. The pegs underneath snap off easily, and a broken ship equals a sad gamer. I'm speaking from experience. Yes, the stuff can be glued back together. I have not yet done that, but no one likes to get a brand new shiny toy and then end up breaking it themselves within 12 hours of getting it, you know? Well, not literally 12 hours, but within, like, 12 hours of using it. You're like, hey, look, it's really, oh, crap. That does not make anyone happy. So, just word of caution, try to avoid that. Then we played some 1775. It is a fun game. Every time I play this, I love it even more than the time before. I am not going to cover it in depth here. Why? Well, I covered it in depth in episode 115. That's wargamingforums.com/WR115. Then also, it appears in the 2014 holiday gift guide. So I talk about it a little bit more there. If you want to check out the holiday gift guide, and I suggest you do if you haven't already, that's episode 125, wargamingforums.com/WR125. So I do highly recommend the game. It was a lot of fun. And it was hilarious, actually. I have two examples. I took a couple of photos with my iPhone and posted them online, and I put them in the live blog. And I wrote this, so I'm going to quote myself, and in my quoting of myself, I'm going to refer to some photos. Of course, you're not seeing the photos, but they're on the live blog if you so chose to see them. So I said, quote, "The first," as in the first photo, "depicts the British taking Rhode Island after the French moved a massive army into there at the start of the game. The second photo shows a French army invading Savannah. This led the Americans to take in the colony, which then allowed them to secure South Carolina. Subsequently, they took Pennsylvania. The game stands halfway through round 3. The Redcoats played a truce card earlier in the game. Right now, the British control Maine, Rhode Island, and Delaware. The Americans hold New Hampshire, Connecticut, plus the aforementioned colonies. This will be a close game." And it was. It was nail-bitingly close. And it ended with the British winning, which not what I would have wanted because I was on the American side. But that was okay. It was just so much fun. And then after that, we played a game that Adrian brought. It's called D-Day Dice. I'm also not going to go into a lot of depth about this because I talked about this in the holiday gift guide. So you can just check that out as well because this does make it onto the holiday gift guide. Episode 125. So you can listen to it there, but I want to tell you a couple things about it. First of all, it's a fantastic game. It is a dice game, but not dice like zombie dice. It's a combination of dice and these really gorgeous, kind of laminated looking maps where you play cooperatively with other players and you represent different factions, Canadians, Americans, British, and so forth, landing on D-Day. Each map gets harder than the one before it and you work your way up and the goal is you start on the beaches, and you have to go up to the bunker, defeat the bunker, and you win. Sounds easy, right? It's not. It's accessible, especially the beginner map, but it is very challenging. And important that you work together, you talk, communicate, see what the other people do and share your strategies and try to coordinate that so that you can get the best benefit. I love it. It's hilarious and a lot of fun because just weird things happen and it's brutal. The further up you get on the beach, the more you're taking in casualties. More guys dying, machine gun fire, barbed wire, all sorts of stuff. So you really have to be ready for it and you have to know what the symbols mean. It's a lot of fun though. And that's why I made it onto the holiday gift guide. Then Patrick had to leave and Adrian and I hung out, had some dinner, and we played some San Juan, which is a great game. I've talked about that many times on the show. And then, of course, he had to leave, and so I played some computer games after the guys left. I played Prison Architect, which I love, and I've talked about that game so much. It's still in alpha. It's on Steam. Great price. It's a simulation game. You build your own prison, but then you manage it. It really does a great job of helping you to figure out what makes prisoners tick and what you need to do to help redeem them. So it's interesting. Then I played some more Star Wars Battlefront 2 that got played a lot over the weekend. And then I played online Red Remover, which is a cool flash game. I played it on Kongregate.com. That's Kongregate with a K. And there's a block of various shapes and sizes that are red, and you need to get them off the screen. They fall down with gravity, and gravity changes it. There's green ones that you don't want to get off the screen, and then there's blue ones that doesn't matter. So it's a good puzzle game. Then I played some Unity of Command, which is a fun hex-based game from Steam. It works on OS X for Mac and Windows. It's World War II. I've talked about this before. It's a very fun introductory World War II game. Very easy to get into. And I played that on my MacBook while I sat up in bed. Why? Well, when I was buying the snacks and everything for the weekend, for the 24 hours, I thought I was buying caffeinated diet, root beer and so forth. All the beverages I bought were uncaffeinated. So lo and behold, I'm like, well, I'll just sit up in bed and be comfy and stretch my legs because they're, you know, really tight. Played some Unity Command. Then I played some more, other games. And lo and behold, I started falling asleep and I was like, oh man. I slept, and so whenever this happens, because I always end up falling asleep, I can't make it through. I check on the time onto the next day. So when I woke up, I started playing Star Wars Battlefront 2, and then I played Cargo Bridge 2, which is another game online, a flash game on Kongregate, another puzzle one. Did that while I ate, and lo and behold, at 11:10 a.m. on October 26th, I beat my 2013 fundraising goal, but I'm going to talk more about fundraising a little bit later in this episode. And then I moved on because I was by myself. My wife was at church and I said, I'm going to play some 1775, but I need other people. I played it solo. I think I'm going to do an entire episode on how to play 1775 solo. So I'm not going to talk much about it now, except I want to say it's not officially supported by the game. And what I did was I didn't look at the cards for each faction until it was that faction's turn. So if red came up, I looked at the cards. I said, this makes sense, let's do that. And if blue came up, I did them and so forth. So I never really knew what was coming. And then when I drew a card at the end of the turn, I drew it face down and put it right on the pile so I couldn't see what it was. And then each faction's turn, I really put myself into the issues and said, okay, I want this faction to win. What do I need to do that? Is this perfect? Are there checks and balances? No. So someone like Don Featherstone would be like, oh, you should have a umpire or something coming in. And truthfully, he's right, but this worked for me. Plus, it helps that the turns are random. You can't know. There's no way to know what color cube comes up to denote which faction is going next. They go in a bag. You can't see through the bag. Every cube is identical except for color. So you reach in, you grab it. Who knows? You shake it up. You can't tell. And if you're going to cheat at a solo game, that says a lot about you as a gamer and as a person. So I was happy with how it went. It was fun and I had a good time. And then my wife, when she came back, her and I played Hanabi. This was recommended by the great people at Crossroad Games in Maine, Portland, Maine. Well, just outside of Portland, Maine. And they were at TotalCon a few years back and they suggested it for me, so I picked it up. Now I played this with my wife. As I said, she's hard to play games with because she's not a gamer. She loves like Apples to Apples and Mario Kart and that sort of stuff. So she likes party games. And they said this would be good. So it's an accessible co-op card game. The goal is to build fireworks. There are many different colored cards in the game. They have numbers on them, 1 through 5. You build different colored fireworks, a blue one, a red one, green one, and so forth. And you do it by putting the cards down in order, from starting with 1 and working your way up to 5. You cannot see what cards you have because you show them face out in your hand towards the person you're playing with, your partner. And they do the same with theirs. So you can see theirs and they can see yours. You can only say, you only have 2 options for what information you can share. You can either share color of cards or number. You can say you have 3 number 2s and you have to point them out where they are in their hand. But you can't say you have 3 red number 2s. You can't say anything like that. You can't combine them. You can say you have 1 blue card and you point. So through giving clues, your partner can hopefully figure out what card they have and they can move them around and stuff. But you don't want to keep on doing that because eventually the fuse, depending on your actions and how things go, the fuse denoting the fuse on the fireworks will go off. And if you don't have the fireworks built properly, you won't do well and the people will be unimpressed with your fireworks display. So by the end of the game, my wife and I managed to get a score of 15, which is a mediocre fireworks display. So that's middle of the road. I think max score is in the 20s somewhere, or maybe only 20. One of the things I found about the game is it's really hard to communicate effectively to succeed in building those fireworks. I think I need to play this a few more times to get a firm opinion about whether or not I like it or dislike it. I think I might like it, but I'm still middle of the road on it. So those are the games I played. Let's talk about fundraising. So the goal for 2014 was $200 American dollars. I decided that for this year, I wanted to do things a little bit differently. And I was promoting it and, you know, raising money and getting money from different people and all that sort of stuff. And then one of the listeners here, Working Recon, did something fantastic. And it's something I've honestly been wanting to do for a long, long time and just couldn't quite get my act together for it. And I know this year might be hard. So listener Dave, who is the head honcho, as far as I'm concerned, of the Wargames at Battleshades Facebook group, set up a charity auction. He had a painted mini, which is a Perry Brothers painted French cursor trumpeter 5th Regiment model. It's a Napoleonic 20mm metal painted with foundry acrylics in the style of Kevin Dallimore. And he was auctioning it on eBay. All the proceeds from it, excluding postage, he was donating to Extra Life on my behalf. He had a base on MDF with flocks, sand, rocks, what looks like armor painter tubs. The bid started at just under 18 British pounds, which was $28 and some change. And the auction ended on October 20th. So I promoted it on the show. You probably heard me mention it to it. I thanked listener Dave for just being so ingenious with this, and I promoted it on social media. So that brought in a fair bit of money. I was just so happy about this because you see other places doing this, and in particular, Henry Hyde famously had been doing this for the combat stress appeal. He had special models commissioned, he would get a well-known painter to paint them, and then auction the painted model off on eBay and raise some funds. And it's a cool idea. And in the last episode, or the one before that, I shared the tweet from the winning bidder on it and how happy he was to get the model and how wonderful it is. And I was thoroughly impressed just with Dave's painting skills. It's amazing. It looks just beautiful. I would love to have any of his stuff on display at my place. It's amazing. So between the regular fundraising and the charity auction, I knew we had a chance to try to meet the goal. Because when you think about things, $200 sounds like a lot to some people, and to others it doesn't sound like much at all. To me, it's a decent amount of money, and you know, it's good. I was so excited when on the day that the 24-hour fundraiser began, that the goal was met. Not only was it met, it was exceeded. We blew past it. And then the next day when I woke up and I still had to make up my time and I was finishing up the 24 hours, money kept coming in. And then it kept on getting closer and closer to what was raised in 2013. I was like, I'm really happy with what we have so far. I'm more than happy. I'm ecstatic. But I wonder if we can beat 2013's tally. So I used social media and I said, hey, listen, you know, we're $55 away from beating the 2013 tally. Who can help? You know, it's 10 people giving, 5 people giving 10 bucks, basically, or 6 people giving 10 bucks. or X number were given $5 and so forth. Groups of people get together, whatever. So then some more donations came in, and then it was pushed over the top with a very kind donation from listener Dave in the War Games at Battleshades Facebook group. At the end of the day, with all of your generous help, we have raised over 430 American dollars that goes to the Extra Life 24-Hour Gameathon. This money goes directly to Boston Children's Hospital to help kids in need. It is 215% of my goal, which is more than double in the highest amount that I personally have raised through all of your help and kindness and generosity for Extra Life. So I want to thank all of you for everything that you have done to make this a success. Before I go into the thank yous, I want to let you know what happened with Team Troll. As I said, I did this as being part of Ben Gerber and Troll in the Corner, and he sets up a fundraising team on the Extra Life site. It's called Team Troll. The entire team, and it is composed of 11 people, raised almost $9,000 and was one of the highest fundraising teams in Massachusetts. In 2013, we were in like the top two, top three fundraising teams. Going into the fundraiser, we were number three, I think. And we dropped down a little bit, but we were in the top five, top 10 fundraising teams. A lot of people raise a lot of money for this charity, whether it's part of Team Troll or separate teams or for other hospitals. And usually it's smaller amounts. Every dollar helps, whether it's a buck, $5, $20, $10, whatever. Every bit helps. But most teams are one person or they're two people. Maybe they raise $50, $200, $100. Most aren't raising almost $9,000 is what it is. So that's why Team Troll did such a fantastic job. So huge kudos to everyone on Team Troll. But more specifically, I want to thank you guys. And I know you're not part necessarily of Team Troll, but you made this a success for, most importantly, the kids in need. So I'm hoping I don't leave anyone out. If I accidentally do, it's because I misspoke. It's not personal. Let me know, because I want to express my personal thanks to all of you. So first of all, I have family and coworkers who made very generous donations. I am just so grateful to each and every one of them who helped with this. Listener Adam of the Fencing Frog blog kindly donated and was very supportive in spreading the word and raising awareness. And then, of course, in interacting with me on social media during the Gamathon. And that's very important because that helps all of us who are participants in this to stay motivated, to get that encouragement, because it might sound silly because games are fun, right? Or they're supposed to be. It's a lot of work. It's hard to do this. And I realize how absurd that sounds. Believe me. But your feedback, your contact and communication during the event, it's huge. It makes a difference. I also want to thank Jesper Ortiz, who's been a frequent guest here on the show, and the folks from Wargame Soldiers and Strategy magazine for spreading the word on their social media. Their help in raising awareness is incredible. I am just so thankful. Listeners Adrian and Patrick deserve kudos for trekking all the way to Wargaming Recon Central, playing some games with me. It's great to raise money, and it's great to help out the kids, and it's important, but how do we do that? We do that by playing the games. And if people like Adrian and Patrick couldn't come here to play games, just me playing games, it's hard to stay motivated. So having these people together, it's key. It's so important. And I'm just appreciative. The incredible staff from TotalCon made a very kind and generous donation. So let's talk TotalCon. You guys know how much I love them, right? TotalCon is my favorite gaming convention here in New England to go to. I love it. And I'm sad in 2015 I may not go to go, or if I do, I'm not going to be able to stay. Again, it's around the time of when the babies do. But TotalCon is comprised of just stellar people who run the entire event. It's out of this world. They do a fantastic job of making everyone feel like they belong and that they're part of the game. And not only that, but they care deeply about the gaming community, about giving back. They want to help. And so I was deeply touched that they made this generous and very kind donation, because I feel like they're part of the gang, that I'm with them and I can just kind of slip in and have so much fun. But at the end of the day, I'm not a staff member. I'm not family with them. I'm a guy who talks about stuff and I go to the con. And so knowing that they cared so much, that just made all the difference. I want to give huge thanks to listener Kyle, who took the time to make a very kind donation, and he included a really fun message with it. He said, quote, "Wishing you nothing but natural 20s. Who just wouldn't love a crit hit, right? Because that's awesome. Whenever you get that, that's the kind of story you tell your friends about. Remember that time we played that game and you got that 6 when you needed? You got the crit. You got that natural 20. Wasn't that awesome? Those create memories. And then listener Dave in the Wargames at Battle Shades Facebook group, you guys deserve a special badge of honor. You went above and beyond, and you helped to make a huge difference in the lives of these kids who benefit from Extra Life. You did the charity auction, which was a huge investment of time, I'm sure. And you shouldered all that on your own. I didn't ask you. You did it. You came up with the idea, and you ran with it. You said, hey, there's a need. Let's do it. And you did it. And then not only that, but you were supportive every step of the way. You were interested. And you made not one, but two additional donations that helped to make all of it possible. So, of course, I am so grateful to everyone who's made a donation, who spread the word, and who were supportive in some way to help raise awareness about what's going on with Extra Life and about my involvement with it to help kids in need. But I really want to place a spotlight on listener Dave and the Wargames at Battle Shades group for how they, in my opinion, perfectly exemplify Wargamers giving back and how touched I am, because this is what it's about, people. It's about helping kids. It's about giving back. And everyone has been so generous and selfless of your time and your resources. And it's important. And I just want you to all know how much I appreciate it. So thank you. Thank you to every one of you. And I want you to know my intention is to do this again next year. I want to keep on doing this as long as I can and just see what happens. Every year has been interesting. And every year, listeners like you and Wargamers like you have stepped up to the plate. You've made a difference. You spread the word. And you've helped kids in need. And that is a beautiful thing. So let's move on now and do the mailbag section of the show. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm getting... I'm an emotional person. It's just in my family, we tend to be emotional. And stuff like this, it gets me a little emotional. So, the mailbag, right? I want to talk about just a couple things, some feedback and comments that made its way through social media. So on Facebook, Fence and Frog happened to say, quote, "Glad I could make my own small contribution, but you and all of Team Troll did an amazing job. Thank you again for your contribution, and no contribution is too small. Every single one and every single way that people help out is important and vital. And it's something that I know not only I, but all of us at Team Troll really appreciate. So thank you. I want to say that on Facebook, I happen to share a couple postings about the top 10 episodes of 2014. There's going to be full details on that next episode, because next episode is when we look back on 2014 and when I share the top 10 list and all that kind of stuff. Starting in 2013, I was like, let's do something cool. As we get near to do the top 10 list, let me get in touch with the guests who have been on the episodes and see if they can motivate their fan base to reach people they didn't reach before, to see if we can get them some wiggle room to move up the list of the top 10 and see how high they can go. Let's have a little friendly rivalry kind of thing going on and see what happens. So I was sharing some images about that and what was at the top 10 at like 10 days ago and 5 days ago and so forth. And then a couple interesting comments popped up. So Sigur Squirrel said, quote, "Having Henry," meaning Henry Hyde, "on a podcast episode, especially usually is a safe bet. Sit him down in front of a microphone, ask, so how have you been, Henry? Lean back and make sure you have a lot of spare hard disk space. Always a delight. I can't agree with you more." And this is exactly what I mean when I refer to having Henry on as you wind him up and let him go and sit back and enjoy. And by wind him up, I don't mean the British way of let's get him going and make him angry. I mean like a clockwork toy soldier or the Energizer Bunny. Get a topic, get him excited about something, say, here you go. And he runs the show basically. And it's interesting and different every time. He's always a fantastic guest to have on. And I am grateful for every single time that he's willing to come on the show because, in my opinion, I'm like tiny little fish in tiny little pond, right? And Henry's like, look at me. I am awesome. So having that, it makes me feel happy. And then fantasy author Tracy Hoban said, quote, turn your girlfriend into a war gamer. She's referring to an episode that we had done in 2014. And let's see, it was, oh geez, it was way back, wasn't it? It was episode 107, Turn Your Girlfriend Into a Gamer with guest Aaron Boschin. I know the title seems a little off-putting and maybe even a little insulting, but it's not meant that way. It's meant more of a, hey, you should check out the episode because there's actually good content in there. And by using a title like that might be a little controversial, I think it piques interest. Whereas you're saying, hey, let's see how we can spread the word about stuff that's, I don't know, that bores me as I'm saying it, right? So using a title like that, I think it gets people to say, oh, what is going to happen in here? Let's check this out and see what's going on. So that's what the title was that. And again, didn't mean to insult anyone. And I hope no one was insulted with it. But if you're listening, that's why. And if you were insulted and you have some suggestions on how I could avoid doing stuff like that, because I don't want to make people unhappy. That's not why I do this. But reach out to me. So let's see. We have some announcements. As I've mentioned previously, I'm working to schedule guests for the 2015 podcast season. And then you can also see a photo collage of some of the guests who've been on the show. It's on our Facebook page. We are getting near the end of the 2014 podcast season. In fact, there is only one new episode left. It is episode 127, Looking Back on 2014. You can find out more about that and other episodes that have already come out in the past and what we're working on by checking out the episode guide. Head on over to wargamingforums.com/episode guide. And that'll tell you not only is the Looking Back episode coming up, but that we will finish off the 2014 podcast season with two best of episodes. One will release on December 22nd, 2014, which is my birthday. And then the other one will come out on January 5th, 2015. I am going to pick two episodes that have come out in the 2014 season, and I'm going to air them again, but it's not just going to be the same stuff you've heard. I'm going to start off and give some comments and thoughts. Maybe I'll share some behind-the-scenes sort of stuff, something funny, who knows, a little story, whatever. And so I'll have that in there too, so maybe that'll give you another perspective on the episode and what happens here at Wargaming Recon. So those two episodes will come out, and then the 2015 podcast season begins on January 19th, 2015. So that'll be very excited to get going with the 2015 podcast season. Yes, I know that shortly before the baby is due, in case I haven't shared the due date with all of you, our baby is due the beginning of February, the very first week, in fact. But of course, as anyone who's had kids know, you come a few weeks early, you come a few weeks late. Don't worry, I have stuff ready so that episodes can go out while the baby's here and we're getting acclimated having a little one and all those nighttime feedings and that sort of stuff going on. So that way you'll still get content coming out to you. And then I want to remind all of you that you can do a really cool thing by leaving us a review on iTunes. So iTunes is the number one way people listen to podcasts. Biggest, largest podcast directory, easiest way to get at stuff, all that sort of thing. And subscribing through iTunes just makes it easy because when you subscribe through that, get every episode automatically just shows up and you're good to go. You can connect it to your devices and all that sort of stuff. By leaving reviews on there, you help other potential listeners choose to listen to Wargaming Recon. And then you help to grow the hobby. Wargamingforums.com/iTunes will allow you to leave a review. It doesn't have to be long. For example, we got a 4-star review from Steve B in Canada, and it was titled Great Stuff. His review said, quote, a great podcast full of a variety, good quality information, unquote. It could be as short as that. You leave your review, you give it some stars, and it's fantastic. So I would encourage you to do that if you are so interested because it would help a lot of people, would help us. And then don't forget, you can get in touch with me through a variety of ways. There's email, cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. We're on Facebook, wargamingforums.com/Facebook. And then we're also on Twitter, wargamingforums.com/tweet. You can get to the show notes for this episode, wargamingforums.com/WR126. That's wargamingforums.com/WR126. That'll have links to everything, talk about all sorts of stuff, and be really cool. The next episode, the Looking Back on 2014 episode, will come out on December 8th, and that is when we will reveal the top 10 episodes of 2014. I'll go more in depth at that point, but basically, we determine what are the top 10 episodes by the number of unique people listening slash downloading, accessing the episodes. So for example, I can tell you that right now, Henry Hyde's episode is firmly in first place, but, and this is what I had posted on Facebook, something interesting is happening because I thought he was going to be there no matter what, that no one could dethrone him. Well, Jasper Ortiz is working his way up and he's getting really close with his great Wargaming Survey episode. He's in number 2 and I tell you, he's getting closer every day. More new people are listening and accessing his episode. So Henry has a potential battle lines to answer first place. So we'll see how that goes. So until then, I gave you all that you need to have to get in touch with us and what's coming up. But if you have any questions, comments, or feedbacks, please get in touch because I love hearing from all of you guys. It's my favorite part of podcasting. Interacting with all of you, it's great. So please don't be shy and please get in touch. Well, that was the Extra Life 24-Hour Gameathon for 2014. As you can tell, there was a lot that happened. It's not easy to distill 24 hours into a roughly 1-hour show, but I hope I did a good job for all of you. And of course, I am completely and truly thankful to everyone, as I had said. So until next time, you know the drill. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter how busy you are, what's going on at work, what's happening at home, no matter what, you have to, you need to, you gotta keep on gaming.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Geeks Explicitly, new episodes coming at you every Thursday, talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 12-7-games.com.